Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, we're having a little tick.
So, I'm still having a hell of a time hearing
you. And hopefully it goes better than that. Let's see if this little thing helps. Is that any better, Tony?
That sounded a little bit better. You didn't break up on me while it's there.
All right. So we got a really podcast. Any minutes of
time. Now you're breaking.
Now I'm breaking up again? Hold on. Let me call you right back. All right. Hopefully we got this straightened out.
Okay.
How's that, Tony?
That sounds good so far.
All right. So hopefully we'll be all set. We've got Tom probably calling in. We've got to talk.
Well, we got tomorrow night Steve Cunningham and Antonio Tarver.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm on my Facebook now, and Tarver was posting pictures of his outfit for tomorrow night.
Nice.
And then, you know, and like I said, Tom said when the fight first got announced, you know, that's a hard fight, you know, to watch because you have a vested interest and you like both guys, not just as fighters. But on a personal level, we had Steve on the show twice. We've had Antonio on the show. Interesting guys, you know, good. Both of them good human interest stories. Steve Cunningham, especially, a matter of months ago. And you know, had her career, and he still has the world cruiserweight champion, now fighting heavyweight, and it's a shame because he always put such a good effort in, and a lot of times he doesn't get rewarded for it. His loss back in March was disgraceful. And, you know, he took a little heat early in his career. You know, he was late, but, you know, a little bit lazy, especially in the Olympics, you know, losing in the Olympics, and they said maybe he didn't put the best effort forth, and then he had the you know, loss to Eric Harding, which he avenged. He had the very close loss to Roy Jones, which he avenged very dramatically, and then won the rubber match. Piece of loss for him was the one, which won that. It was pretty. Very humble guy. Icecracker a little bit, you know, more charismatic, Steve a little bit more. But at the same time, you know, just two fantastic gentlemen. And what you wish for here is just fight, the better man to win. And if it goes to the decision, the judges have it right.
There you go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking Steve's got what it takes to beat Tarver. Not sure how ready Tarver is to really make a run for the title. He's kind of been out of action a little bit too much. I don't know if he's really as active. He's definitely not as active as Steve Cunningham, but it's definitely a well-matched fight. I mean, 6 losses to 7 losses and wins for Tarver, 28 for Cunningham. And then there's a hell of a co-main event at Cruiserweight. Marco Huck versus Christoph Gulacki is undefeated.
That should be a real good fight. Actually, two guys that, stuff I'm thinking of, two guys that Steve Cunningham both beat for the Cruiserweight title.
Nice. So, also, match between Arthur Spilka, 19 Guerra. What? and see what else we got for this weekend. The silver heavyweight title is on the line in Quebec. NBC Sports Network, another premier boxing event. Elijah Al, 17, Cedro Ranoni Prieto, who is 24-0. And of course, Lucian beats Hayes on Friday, 31-2. He's got a great record, but shouldn't Lucian Bute be?
You say now, he's been a little bit inactive. I think what you're going to see out of him is him build his career back up.
Okay. No. Until August 12th. Nothing on Showtime either, right? Glenn Johnson's fighting this weekend at light heavyweight. Great guy.
Well, that was a great.
Card Chaz Witherspoon also in action over the weekend. Guaybus, who is 11-2, and I'm sorry on that card. And today it's kind of interesting. In Australia, we've got Danny Green, 3-5, fighting Roberto Feliciano Belonti, who's 6-3 at Cruiserweight in the main event there next Wednesday. And Tom. Tom?
Yeah, fading in and out. Yeah, fading in and out. I can catch about every third word.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Okay, a little better.
Hey. It's about that time. Hopefully he can hear us. Bear with me, folks. What do you think about the union, Tom? You think the UFC is going to union?
No. I doubt it. But, you know, Rogan actually came out with the statement that he was sort of on the fighter's side about this loss of sponsorship money. So, see how things come out.
Right.
In fact, Tim Kennedy said that he made more from one fight in Showtime than the entire card did on this last one. So he's very upset about it. And there's just a, I guess the Twitterverse is just going, that's all the news is. So see how it goes.
Hopefully, Peter.
You have reached the voicemail box.
Oops.
Mailbox.
What's on, Peter? My truck unstuck, but it took me 2 days. Some fucking thing around, and it's Thursday the 8th. I guess that's why. It's only difficult. Keeps going to voicemail. On the phone. Next. In the loop. Wait. Here's the thing. You guys still hear me?
There you go.
I can hear you.
Reached the voicemail box of 857-540-94.
Whoops. Come on, Peter. Hands up. All right. Well, I guess I'll wait for his text. See what the heck's going on. Anderson Silva's in the news, Tom. Just breaking news. He's been fined $300,000 and $380,000 and suspended for 1 year.
Who was this?
Anderson Silva.
Oh, okay. Wow.
The other news, of course, as I mentioned, Teamsters and the Cubs, too. Yeah. We're not shifting the call. All right, trying them again. Maybe. Sure.
You have voice next. You have reached the voice.
Ridiculous. One ring. There's two rings.
I heard something.
You have reached the voice.
Maybe not.
Hello. Okay. Yeah. You can call in to the show. It is, let's see. It's 347. Hang on 1 second. I'm in Belmont, New Hampshire. Up next to Laconia. I don't know why it's not showing the number here. All right, Tom, you know the number to call in, right? Tom, you there?
Yeah, our connection is terrible. Let me, because I just have it on show. Let me get off. I'll get the number. I'll call right back. Hold on.
Okay. Hold on. 3-2. Hang on. Hold it. This one, hold on. What the heck? Here's Tom.
Okay.
Tom.
347. 324. Yeah, 347. 324. 3228.
3228.
Right.
Three, two, eight, Tom.
Okay. 347. 3-2-4-3-2-2-8.
3-2-2-8. Right. Okay. All right. You got it. All right. Okay. All right. Technical difficulties. We got a Peter's going to call it. He's got an app on his phone. I know you guys couldn't hear all that conversation, but he's got an app that prevents numbers from calling, block numbers or numbers.
Oh, no shit. I got to get that app.
So I know my name's up as an unknown or crazy number all the time. It's probably what was going on there. I don't even know my own show number by heart, calling number. It's not a show, a studio switch usually does, so I don't know why it's not doing that today. Having a lot of trouble. All right. So while we're waiting, I guess we could talk a little bit about this union thing. The Teamsters have matched up with the Culinary Union. They're talking about trying to unionize MMA. This is a little bit of a grudge match between the Culinary Union and the Fertittas, who own Station Casinos. So there was a lot of back and forth there. I had written an article about, you know, basically what the Culinary was doing with trying to undermine the union unless they're trying to start a union. And I guess it turns out that's what they're trying to do. But they just weren't telling anybody back then. And now they've teamed up with the Teamsters, which is kind of interesting. You know, the Teamsters' history with mob activity and the Fertittas' history, their own family and mob activity. It's kind of interesting now the Teamsters are going against the Fertittas. Crazy stuff. But, yeah, that's making the news this week. Another part of the Anderson Silva, he's trying to say that a sexual performance treatment was blamed for his...
It's called testosterone. You know, Rich, on this union thing, to me, the biggest thing that's needed is solidarity. And I can't picture Ronda Rousey McGregor and a lot of the top names jumping on board. So that's going to leave the second and third tier guys. And a lot of times what you see on when Rousey's the headliner, they know they're going to get her fans buying no matter what. So they can stack the card with whatever they want. And I just, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I just don't see the top guys getting involved. And I think at some point the UFC could make a decision that there'll be enough second and third or fourth or fifth tier guys to make up for the ones that want to walk away.
All right, we got Peter. Peter's live. How's it going, Peter?
How you guys doing?
Good. Can hear you. That's awesome.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
All right, Peter. So tell us, what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, not really too much as of lately. Tell you one thing, like a retard, I started smoking cigarettes about 2 years after my last pro fight. And I just got off in the last like 3 weeks or a month. And I've been doing that vapor cigarette. And I'm putting on. Here it is. Ah, here we go. Yahtzee! I just recently got engaged. I couldn't be happier. I got a beautiful woman, an awesome woman, and she was like, "You gotta get us." She was like, "You gotta get off the cigarettes. I want you around later." She's awesome. She got me on the vapor cigarette. You know, it's to help me quit smoking, you know. And I couldn't find it. I was having a dick fit.
Uh-oh. I used to smoke in high school, and then I stopped for a while. And when I went to the Nationals, in the military, the night of my final match, somebody had a pack of cigarettes in the hotel.
Wait. So you were boxing?
Yeah, and I quit for good, completely smoking cigarettes, like 2008 or so.
What year was this thing you were boxing?
1998 was when I went to Nash.
So it was 1998. Where were you fighting that time?
Kentucky. It was
I fought Louisville, Kentucky.
Nice. So tell us,
I fought Louisville. Was fighting the finals again?
What?
I fought Louisville, Kentucky. Was my last fight. Was my fight with Tyson?
Who's the toughest guy here? Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What was the question?
Who's the toughest guy you ever fought?
The toughest guy I ever fought. Hands down. You know, it's a funny thing. Because I'm the guy's my friend today. It was Butch Kelly. Butch the Bounty Hunter Kelly. He's from Baltimore, Maryland. And if you look at his records, you go, oh, this guy sucks. You know what I mean? But he fought he was this advantage. They threw him in there with vicious animals. But if you look at his record, his losses, the guys that he fought and lost to, the guys he sparred with, he fought with multiple world champions, top 10 contenders. Now this guy, he was sparring with Axel Schultz. Axel Schultz had a piece of the title back in a piece of the championship. Now we'll go back to 94. And he was on a journey to spar with Axel Schultz a month. People don't realize, to get to Tyson, I had 37 fights. I had 37 fights. Tyson was my 38th fight. But 37 fights in 44 months.
Wow.
Figure that out. If you figure it out, it was a fight every 5 weeks for less than 4 years. It was old school. Sometimes we go a month without a fight and fight twice the next one. You know what I mean? It was weird. There was no rhyme or reason to it, but Butch Kelly was in great shape when he came in. Now, me personally, I had had a fight. Then I ended up going on the road. I went to my spot. I fought the former heavyweight champion of Tony Tucker. So my manager, Vinny Vecchio, managed myself and Paul Poirier. And he goes, all right, Pete, we're going to Lake Tahoe, Caesars Tahoe. Then we came back. Then we went to, then we flew to a training camp in Florida. We deal with jet lag. And then I got a cold. But this guy come out of his training camp, ready to rumble. Because I was undefeated at this time. And this kid went toe-to-toe. Like we stole something from each other's mother. 8 rounds, toe-to-toe. And at the end, I beat him on a split decision. Yeah. And it was because I knocked him down once. And I got the extra point on that knockdown. Yeah. So thank God I knocked him down once. Got that extra point, I won the fight.
All right. Well,
then years later, the kid wrote to my website. My best friend is Kid Zuckerberg. Coming in tomorrow from Albany, New York. He runs HurricanePeterMealy.com. He's like, all right. Peter, Butch Kelly wrote to you. He wants a copy of you and his fight. He doesn't have a copy of it. So you have the phone. I call him, like, Butch, you want a copy of the fight? He's like, yeah. Well, you gotta come down here and watch it with me. And he came down and didn't leave like 4 days. Great guy. Great guy.
That's funny. All right. And I couldn't help but notice you found a guy named Harry Funmaker, who's a lot of a former guest of ours.
Harry was on your show?
No, Harry wasn't, but he fought a lot of guys who was on our show. Billy Wright was his last opponent. We just had him on.
Don't go
year.
Billy Wright!
Yeah, just had him on. And Butterbean?
Don't go Billy Wright.
Eric Esch? He's
yeah,
on Butterbean.
Yep. Funmaker fought Bean like 3 times. The first two Butterbean won easy, and the third one Funmaker beat Butterbean. I handle Funmaker. I fought him and fought Funmaker in. It was Harris Hotel Casino, Bay St. Louis.
Kansas City.
Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. Yep. Harris Hotel Casino, Kansas City, Missouri. Fought in the parking lot. And I handled Funmaker easy, knocked him down once. That was in 1998. And... Yep. It was funny. The guy, I was the co-feature. And the main event was this kid. He was the Peter McNeely of Kansas City. You know what I mean? And the fight was on my birthday. It was October 6th, 1998. And...
Well, like me.
So what? Hey,
you're a Libra like me.
That's right. Love
a
Libra, baby. My scales are way off balance.
Yeah, right.
So it is.
We had a couple of
I can't hear you.
Psychic talk. He's
on
one
the
call. One more time. We've got Tony the Tornado on the call with us. He's a boxing guy.
The Tornado?
On a hurricane. Yeah.
What's going on, Peter? How you doing?
Who's this? This is Tony.
It's Tony the Tornado.
How are you, Tony?
Yeah.
One more time.
How are you? Certain day.
I can't understand what he's saying, guys. Could you guys hear?
Were you saying? Did you say how am I or how old am I? Rich, I think
you
I have a bad connection. Can
I
you hear me?
Hello.
He's 38. He
said. I forget if he asked how I was or how old I was. I couldn't.
I said, how are you? How old are you?
Oh, no, I'm doing good. Actually,
fuck how old you are?
We were actually on a Facebook thread a couple weeks ago. We were all quoting Duke from Rocky. I was sitting there saying, let's start building some hurting bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me. I think I commented right after you. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you, Tony. It's funny, a lot of people don't know this. I was at Bridgewater State College, and I graduated from Bridgewater State College. I did not win my first amateur fight, until my sophomore year of college at Ridgewater State. It was on my birthday in October of 1990. It was on my birthday. The night before, I was at the Petrinelli Gym, the home of my little mom and I, training up there like a dog. And then I drive up into the ghetto, bang with the big boys in the Petrinelli Gym. I walked in that gym three months after the famous Hagler Leonard super fight. And I fought every one of them animals up there every night. I drive back to the dorms at Bridgewater State College. One night, Cootie Petrinelli comes out and says, "Peter, this is you." And he got a form letter from Sylvester Stallone's Calcic Corporation. Long story short, I came and had a casting call, had a screen test. I came in second place for Tony Morrison for part of Rocky Bus. Hello, you guys still there?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, what's your university, right?
Westfield State.
Say what?
Westfield State. Was that John Korzenacki? Was he the coach there?
No. I was at Bridgewater State College. The first fight I ever won was at Westfield. They put me on the team illegally at Westfield State College. I had a friend of the boxing team there. And John Korzenacki was the coach. We went down to Pennsylvania, I knocked the guy out in 20 seconds, we turned around and came back. Now, this is before the information age, so we got away with it, you know? This is November of 87.
When you were saying you lost your first college fight, or your first amateur fight...
No, I didn't say I lost. I did not say that. I said I had my first. I did not fight. I said I did not fight my first fight. I won my first fight as a sophomore in college. John Korzenacki was in my corner. But I didn't need to use him. I knocked the guy out in 20 seconds.
I misheard you. Now, I actually lost my first amateur fight in 1994. And then a few months later, when I had my first win, was, I forget the kid's name, but he was a kid from Westfield, and John Korzenacki was his coach. And I have a picture of us together after the fight.
So what year was this?
This was 1995, just 20 years ago.
That was the year I fought, getting my big Mike.
Yes,
I'm going back to 87 with John Korzenacki.
So, Peter, tell us about that Mike Tyson fight. Obviously, your career,
it was a lot of luck and coincidence. How it really started was I signed Vinnie Vecchione, the famous Vinnie Vecchione, the guy with the scally cap, jumped in and stopped the fight with me and Tyson. Vinnie was my manager, my trainer, my promoter. He was everything. He was all the whole ball of wax rolled into one. He was an old school fight guy. You know, he did all three: promoter, manager, trainer. He was an organized crime figure. You look at this guy, you say he's either involved in a mob or he's involved in boxing. Or he's involved in both. You know what I mean? And he had a connection with Don King. Don King's number one agent Al Braverman. Al Braverman managed and trained Chuck Rutner, who was the original Rocky, the real Rocky. Al Braverman was involved in my father's career back in the late 50s and early 60s. And Al ended up doing business with Vinnie Vecchione in the early 70s. And Vinnie did Al a huge favor in the early 70s. Mid-70s. So Al was a good guy. Al didn't forget. And Al, and when Al rose up with Don King, Vinnie, you know, got a hold of Al today. I got Peter McNally. The kid listen to what you say, Vinny? And he says, yes, he listens to what I say. He knows I know the business. And he said, well, good. When you think he's ready, you call me and we'll have him sign up with Don. So June of 94, when I signed a contract with Don King, that was when things, like, you know, for me, really took off. I mean, I was a big fish in New England, but, you know, when you sign up with a guy named Don King, that's where it goes nationwide and then global. You know what I mean? I mean, in the 90s, it was King, Aram, and the Doomers. And King had a history of doing many, many, many big fights. And the whole Ali Road show was all Don King. You know? But I was lucky. I was in a lot of coincidence, a lot of luck. And then in September of 94, when Oliver McCall dragged Don King back into the heavyweight picture, when Oliver McCall knocked out Lennox Lewis, I was up in Plattsburgh, New York, at a friend's place. And my buddy's like, hey, look, I know I'm not trying to cut you a little fun weekend job, but you gotta come home. Don King wants us at the Rainbow Room, Rockefeller Center, you know, ASAP in the morning. They come back with the belt. Oliver Carl's come back with the belt and they want us there. And so, you know, and I knew, you know, when I got to Vinnie Vecchione's house, he said, look around. I want you to know where you were when I tell you that today you're going to sign a contract to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. So that was when my name hit, you know, a huge nationwide press thing and love life. And it was a good warm-up. It was a good dry run. Because a week later, I signed the contract, got a ton of press out, but a week later, the WBC stepped in and said, no way, it ain't going to happen. He really is not in the top 10. I was ranked 12th in the world at the time. WBC will sit the other day in the top 10. So, in effect, it was better. I was like, wah. Don King was like, shut up. My man, didn't even hear Don King. He was like, shut up. Mike Tyson's coming out in March. Get out of prison in March. I'll be fighting instead for bigger money and more prestige. So, it's just kind of funny. Like, people don't know the stories behind the story.
Well, that's interesting. And you had, actually, I'm just looking at your record now, you had 8 first round knockouts prior to that fight, so it's been a different...
At the end of my career, 25 first round knockouts.
Wow.
We like to go home early. The pay is the same.
Yeah, you fought like you were double parked, right?
Say what?
You fought like you were double parked. Outside.
All right, baby. Get them in, get them out. get them early and often.
Yeah, we were talking with Billy Wright, actually, about that first-round knockout thing. He's got a lot of first-round knockouts. He's trying to break the record. I guess the record is Briggs.
How long ago did you talk to Billy?
A few months ago now. Probably the beginning of the year.
A year?
I think at the beginning of the year. A few months.
No.
A couple months ago.
A year and some change?
Yeah.
Now, at that time, was he still fighting?
Oh, yeah, he's still fighting.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, so, see that correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say he's an Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
Right?
He lives in Vegas now, though.
Okay, all right, well. But, you know, like, back in the 90s, when, you know, we would run across his name as a possible opponent, he was an Oklahoma guy. And the Midwest, you know, that's what they do down there. They build people's records up like you wouldn't believe. It's good and it's bad, you know what I mean?
Right.
But Billy was always a tough, tough guy.
Now, I know.
But I'm going to gamble right now. He turned pro before me, and I can't believe he's fought way after me. I mean, he was fighting in the year 2014. I mean, well, geez. He's got to have, I would guesstimate, he's got to have 80 pro fights, if not close to 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Well, I look at a guy like Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran had, at the end of his career, had 120. I'm going to guess. I know it was over 120. I'm going to say he was under 130. He was over 130. I'm going to say Roberto Duran had 126 pro fights. And that's old school. That's like 1930s, 1940s style. You don't ever hear that anymore. You know what I'm saying?
It's an oddity now. Now, talking about history, you've got your father and your grandfather were in the sport of boxing.
Yeah, I'm a third generation professional boxer. I grew up in a small town called Medfield, Mass. Where the hell are you going to fight Medfield? You know, it's a little small town outside of Boston. And today I live two towns closer to Boston. I'm two towns over Medfield. Now I'm in Norwood. And now next to Norwood is a town called Dedham. You know, when you get to the other end of Dedham, the Boston city line. And, when I was 7 years old, I crawled up the attic and I found my dad on the cover of Sports Illustrated, cover of Ring Magazine. I just became a boxing addict. Just couldn't get boxing out of my head. So, started buying the magazines on the shelves and watching on TV and yada, yada, yada. You know, but I couldn't get, you know, one thing about pro boxing, even amateur boxing, you know, like Tony used to talk about on the phone, if, you know, right, like my father went to Michigan State on a full ride for football. That year, my dad, my Uncle Brian, they're Irish twins, they're like 14 months, 15 months apart. So they kept, you know, back then they kept in the same grade. And so they both went to Arlington High School, which Arlington's like, was Arlington, Cambridge, and Boston, you know, because Cambridge really is Boston. But my father was the number one all-scholastic football player that year. So Michigan State wanted him, and they wanted Uncle Brian too. And so they both got free. Like they said, they wanted my father so bad. My dad said, you want me, you got to pick my brother, too. You're like, well, he's a great ball player. We'd love to have both of you. So, but back then, I mean, you see, we're talking 1956, 1957. You could letter to boxing. So they both went there, played football, and boxed on the varsity team. And the kid got killed at Ohio State in a collegiate boxing tournament. So all the colleges got scared, dropped boxing as a letterman sport. And boxing barely survived in colleges on the club level. And the other guy we just talked about, John Korsnicki, he was a coach at Westfield State College club boxing team. And but my father took it so personal, he quit school and turned pro. And then he had his shot against Floyd Patterson, heavyweight championship of the Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned the Petronellis too. I got a little bit of a history with them. I interviewed Goody a couple years ago. I used to box in his gym every now and then. I got
Where was Tony this?
Petronellis gym.
Petronellis gym
in Brockton.
What year were you down there?
Oh, it was 2008, 2009.
Yeah, at the longest, because the Petronellis gym is no more.
Yeah, it is.
No more. Goody and Pat both dead. I trained full-time at that gym from September 87 to June of 91.
Yeah.
So you were there in 08, huh? Well, what's your name?
Rich.
Oh, you're the man. Rich, what's your last name?
Bergeron.
Oh, Rich Bergeron. All right. Yeah. Oh, wait. Did you have amateur fights?
Did I have what?
How many amateur fights did you have, Rich?
Oh, I only had five, but I only boxed
for
one semester.
How many amateur fights?
I only had five, but I boxed for just one semester because my school only had a club team. Another fight, but it wasn't really on the books.
Right.
The kid who's,
so you had five fights. Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. No doubt. You only climb up those three steps.
Right.
Go between the ropes and you answer the bell.
Right.
I know you know this. It's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody thinks it's easy until they get punched in the head a couple times, right?
Well, it ain't easy. Oh, no.
Everybody's got all kinds of grandiose ideas till they get whacked a good one right in the beak.
So where was your favorite place?
Say it again.
Where was the favorite place you had the favorite venue you ever fought in?
My favorite venue. Wow. I'd have to say one of my, as far as family tradition and city tradition, my first fight after Tyson was the first night of boxing at the Fleet Center. It's now is the TV Bank North Garden. But that was like my the fight that I almost called with McCall. They were saying it was gonna be the last fight in the old Boston Garden. And then whatever, that didn't happen. But so I fought the first night of boxing at the Fleetcher. So for me, that was a big carrying on family tradition. My grandpa, Tom McNeely Sr., fought his first, I'm sorry, it was the opening, it wasn't his first world fight, but it was the opening night of Boston God.
Cool.
My grandfather, the opening night of Boston God, my dad, Tom McNeely Jr., sold out the God in probably 10, 12, 15 times. Me on the late 50s.
You know, we get the title.
Say it again.
It only took you a minute and 43 seconds to get the USBF heavyweight title there in that fight.
No. I stopped Michael Sam in the second round. Stopped in the second round.
143.
Michael Sam.
Make it US big title.
USBF, United States Boxing Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Now, what was your favorite?
Say it again.
What was your favorite punch?
My favorite punch?
Yeah.
Well, you know, growing up in Medfield, we always had, growing up with Dad, we always had a heavy bag, we always had a speed bag. My mom and dad had four boys, no girls. Grew up in the jungle. But of those four boys, I was the one that was always down there banging the bag. I was the one. And my father said it through my amateur career, through my pro career. What I'm talking is the hardest punch to teach. I don't know where, how it happened. Peter always had that big off tuck. That was my big punch. The amateurs and the pros. I only had 21 amateur fights while going to college full time. But in my eighth amateur fight, it was a finals of the Million Down Belt Tournament. I knocked out James Johnson in the first round and knocked him out in 93 seconds for the Million Down Belt Championship. And then in my 10th amateur fight, I beat the other number one ranked contender for Worcester, Bobby Harris. I beat him on decision. So only 21 amateur fights. I beat two number one ranked contenders in the country. So I got good quick, but it finally, God came into my life, put Vinnie Vecchione in my life, and the God bless the Petrelli brothers, still good guys, but that gym was, it was tough. It's not like there's no teaching, coaching, correcting, practicing. We just go up there and kill each other every night. And the world was alive at the end. That's who they stuck with. You know what I mean? And that's not, that is one way of doing it. I just don't think that's the best way of doing it. But in the beginning that gym was good for me. Then it started to go the other way. It sounded like I needed somebody to refine me. And when I met Vinnie Vecchione and I got away from that gym, I went to Whitman next door and I had my last sandwich with Vinnie and then I had 54 pro fights with Vinnie. There's a lot more to it than people see on TV. You learn how to, you learn how to pick your opponents and Vinnie Vecchione would be like, oh yeah, we'll fight Friday night, Pete. But I'm not thinking about the fight Friday. I'm thinking about the next one after Friday. You know what I mean? Like he was a real old school fight guy. What the hell he was doing. Very knew what he was doing.
The left hook, Tyson was pretty good at the left hook, and I used to model my left hook after his. And
Tyson had a vicious hook.
And Tony.
I used to model mine after Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
Joe Frazier, yep. Jerry Coyne.
Peter, I'm a Philly guy.
I'm from Philly. Joe Frazier was the gold standard here.
Say it again.
I'm from Philadelphia, so I was saying I'm from Philadelphia. Joe Frazier was the gold standard here, so he was the one to model and took after.
I was just talking to one of his sons on Facebook the other night. See, I'm a techno dummy in this techno world. I just got online like first time in my life like 3 years ago. And I just got on Facebook first time in my life. The year is September. Last week of September coming up will be a year that I've been on. And I was talking to Joe Frazier's, one of his sons, the other night. And it was funny because my dad passed away 4 years ago this late October. My dad passed on October 25th, 4 years ago. And so, like, to people, you know, come by my house, offer me condolences. And so I had a bunch of pictures out on the kids' table, old pictures of my dad from his boxing days. I had a picture of my dad. He'd been retired about 2 years. My dad had become the Mass State Boxing Commissioner. He had a real nice suit on. And Smokin' Joe Frazier was the boss. It had a real nice suit on too. And my dad was squaring off the picture. And I had the picture out on the table. And not less than 2 weeks later, Joe died. You know, there are no coincidences. And I was telling that to Joe's son the other night on Facebook. Again, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
A hero in boxing, Peter. Anybody that you used to watch a lot of tapes of back in the day, or anybody now that you really like to watch?
Well, I tell you, like figure late 70s through the whole decade of the 80s, whole decade of the 90s, I can tell you who every champion was in every division. I can tell you who all the top 10 contenders are. Now it's like I don't follow it like I did. You follow me? I don't follow it like I used to.
How about the mixed martial arts? You commented on a picture of Ronda Rousey's black eye. You watch the fights there, the mixed martial arts?
What did I comment about a black eye?
Yeah, that's how I started the conversation with you the other night.
I say about a black eye?
Something about a lot can happen in 34 seconds.
I think I also said God knows I had a couple of them.
Yeah.
I'm not, tell you the truth.
You there?
Hold on 1 second. 1 second, guys. 1 second.
Yep.
Ronda Rousey, God bless her. She, if I'm in my house tonight, and I was on Quick of the Channels, she's on, hell yeah, I'll watch her. I mean, but after that fight at the Fleet Center, that was late October 1995. I got a call from somebody. Now, this is the old UFC when they did it tournament style.
Right.
You know, like we had a fight like 3 or 4 times in one night. And they're like, yeah, back when like they would always fight in Vegas and Denver and Moscow and Japan. You know, they asked me if I wanted to fight. I'm like, listen, you know, I can fight a little bit when I'm on my feet. But, you know, you get me on the ground, I know nothing about ground fighting. I know nothing about ground, you know, like, in the end, you have to have some kind of background in grappling.
Right.
You know, you just, if you don't have some kind of grappling, ground fighting, you're done. You know, it's smart enough not to get involved. Then, you know, so then I had a fight in December '95 down in Florida. I was down at a mini training camp before the fight. And they called back and said, oh, we want you to fight. We want you to come now. It was a pay-per-view event. They're like, we want you to come now. You know, sit rings, I do the news, sign autographs. We'll pay you $4,000 cash. No big expense. I'm like, great. Let's do it. So I went out to the show, and Ken Shamrock was doing the announcing that night. And Tank Abbott fought that night. Boy, he was tough. And then that Russian fought. That Russian, he's in a movie. He's in a movie with Robert De Niro. I think it was about 15 minutes.
I don't know.
But the Russian, he's tough. Oh my God, he had a fight like 3 times at him. And he fought Severin. Dan Severin in the finals. I won't really watch the UFC. It's sort of like when it goes to the mat, I'm sorry to say this. I respect all one-on-one combatants. But when it goes to the mat, boring. No, I'm on a feet fighting. Okay. But I don't want to watch a couple of grape smugglers.
Yeah, there's been some
guys smuggling. I don't watch guys smuggling grapes.
One thing I've noticed about the MMA is they don't have very good defense, a lot of them, from when they compete. I don't think they have a lot of good defense with their striking on the feet in mixed martial arts yet. For them to
right.
mix that well, in, they do have a toe-to-toe.
I hear you. I had a few mixed martial arts guys come to me. I was teaching boxing like 99 to like 03. And I had a couple guys that were mixed martial arts guys that came to me to get to work on their hand-to-hand combat better. So, but, well, listen, guys, you know, I go all night with you guys. I go all night with this, you know?
Yeah.
But I gotta get moving.
Tell us where people can find you online and give us your final thoughts, I guess.
Say that one more time.
Tell us where people can find you online. You know, you just said you got Facebook.
Well, like I said, HurricanePeterMcNeely.com is that I've been running 16 years. But if you email that, you're basically emailing my best friend. It's on me. And you can find Peter McNeely on Facebook. I've been on Facebook for a year. Last week of September coming up. I keep hitting the 5,000 friends maximum. I whittle it down. I'll block guys and just, you know, there are a lot of guys who just friend me just so they can say, I friend is Hurricane Peter McNeely. Then you never see them on Facebook. You know, you don't see them talk. You never see them. It's like, you know, I'm not just a flavor of the month, man. Let's try, let's get something going. Let's talk.
It was good to connect with you, and great chatting with you, and we definitely appreciate the call, and great
hit. You guys got my number. Anytime.
All right.
One more thing. And I will say this. I'm hoping it happens, and I'm not going to give too much here. I'm hoping it will happen. But it may happen in Lowell. You guys are on fire from Lowell. There may be some celebrity boxing events going on there in October. With Peter McNeely involved.
Cool. That'll be good to see.
All right.
Yeah, it'd be great to see you back in the
It's a 50-50 shot right now. I'm hoping it will be a reality, but we'll see what happens.
Well, keep us posted.
All right, my friend. Have a great night, guys. Good talking to you.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Yeah, but it turned out all right.
Yeah. That's Peter McNeely, the hurricane and the tornado on the same show.
Oh.
I just got an email from Richie Vegas, Tony. It must be my friend in Vegas.
Yeah, right.
Well, they want to do some advertising for the after party for Andre Berto versus Floyd Mayweather. That's kind of funny. Richie Vegas. Right. Anyway, let's see what else we got to cover. Do we have any MMA fights this last weekend? I can't even remember.
We had Glover Teixeira and OSP.
Oh, yeah.
And as we predicted, Glover had a few more tools in the toolbox. He fought a very smart fight. I don't know if you caught it, but he was a little shaky in the first round with OSP's power, but he figured it out. OSP couldn't stop the takedowns, and on the ground it was pretty much of a mismatch.
Right. I'm starting to remember. It's a pretty decent fight. Somehow they gave it to Dariush instead of Johnson. I don't know what kind of fight they were watching.
I think the best you could have said was 2-1 for Johnson. The last round, maybe you could say, but the first two, I had Johnson winning fairly comfortably. So, I don't know. You never know. What's that saying? Do not leave it in the hands of the judges, which is far easier said than done.
We also had that recently for that card. Yay! So I'm going to go into the results here. Coleman ran against Michael Johnson. He ended up in this. Sam Alvey was also Smiling Sam. Did not do too well. Nearly stopped. He was on his way to losing. Totally overmatched there. The slug ended up being a TKO from punches in the very first round. 2:19 into the fight. Of course, I was rooting for Sam, but to establish anything decent, you know, just couldn't get his jab going, couldn't get his distance, his range. Derek was just an animal, just coming at him at every angle, all the time. Just a lot of psychic time.
Back on. Okay.
And just going through the card here, we got and Amanda Nunes turned a lot of heads over Sarah McMahon, just slapped on the rear naked choke at the end of the first round, 2 minutes and 53 seconds in there, and got the win there. Now people are talking about her fighting Rousey at some point. But, I think Tate's next in line now. We had Ray Borg beat Gian Herrera by unanimous decision. Uriah Hall made quick work of Oluwole Bangabus by TKO, first round, 2 minutes and 32 seconds in. Chris Camozzi beat Tom Watson by unanimous decision. And another former guest of ours, Whoop-Ass Willie, didn't really live up to his nickname. He lost to Dustin Ortiz there by TKO in the third round. 51 with short notice fight, so, you know, can't knock Willie for taking the fight and giving his best there. So we'll look for him to rebound in his next opportunity with a full training camp. We also had Frankie Steens beat Sirwan Kakai by split decision. Chris Dempsey by knockout, and that was in the first round, 50 seconds in. Marlon Vera beat Roman Salazar by triangle armbar submission in the second round, 2:15. And the first fight of the night was Scott Holtzman beating Anthony Christodoulou by rear naked choke submission. That was in the third round at the 2:40 mark. And that's pretty much all the stuff I have for breaking news and results and upcoming stuff. There's actually nothing going on this weekend for MMA.
Yeah, just the Tarver Cunningham fight that we talked about on Friday. It's the only thing I really know of.
It's very rare to have nothing for MMA in the major circuits. I mean, the UFC is doing stuff every week or twice a week. So that's rare. So we got some time to watch boxing. That's good.
That's a good thing.
We got two great former guests to watch fight. Should be a great night. Friday and Saturday, both premier boxing champions nights. And we talked a little bit last week about how they just took over Fox Sports 1. They're really trying to set up a monopoly. They're doing a good job. Anyway, I think that's all we got. So, thanks for stopping by. Thanks to Peter McNeely for a good interview. Tough to understand. He's got a sharp mind still. He's got a lot of experience, history in the sport, as we said, and great chatting with him. Sure.
Absolutely.
It's great to see if he gets into that boxing thing he was talking about at the end. See him get back at it. All right, guys.
All right.
Enjoy.
Tony, one last thing. What's your prediction on the Tarver Cunningham fight?
Well, you know, great question. I know we were talking about it when we first had some technical difficulties. And one thing I said, and I don't think you were on with this yet, but I will recap. It's always hard, as you said it a few months ago when the fight first got announced, when there are two that you actually like on a level, not just as fighters, but as actual people. They're both likable guys.
Right.
Tarver might be a little bit more charismatic, a little bit more outgoing. He might have more of a, I don't want to say following, but he'd be the better known fighter because of his fights with Roy Jones, his fights with Bernard Hopkins. He's going to be... So Tarver is going to be
you know, the A side of this for startup potential. Cunningham also has a great story, you know, especially now that his daughter is recovering, you know, from a heart transplant. Cunningham, while being a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet, is also a very funny guy. I mean, I know that because I get to see some of the stuff that he and his wife put on Facebook. He's got a very good sense of humor. And they're both well-schooled fighters. So what I think you're going to see here, Tarver, even though he's moving up in weight, he was a light heavyweight, where Cunningham started a cruiserweight, Tarver is naturally the better puncher. But at the most part, I think Cunningham is a little bit more sound technically. So what I think you're going to see is a chess match, you know, especially orthodox. I say Cunningham has a better jab. Tarver has a better chin. Tarver's a little bit better of a puncher. So I'm going to see stretches in there where Cunningham is controlling the action with a higher work rate. Tarver sometimes can get lazy. Tarver's going to have some success. I'm not going to say he's going to knock Cunningham down, but I know he will definitely, you know, maybe buzz him a few times, maybe stun him a little bit. I don't want to say hurt him bad, but he'll definitely get his attention. Tarver's going to be the harder puncher. So I think you're going to have a fight that's going to be, once again, very hard to decipher going down the stretch. I can see Cunningham rallying a little bit over the final few rounds. He is the younger. It's hard to say when the guy that's almost 40 is the younger guy, but he is the younger guy. I think he's a little bit better conditioned. I think it's going to be one of the fights that's going to be very close. I think a lot of people are going to shade towards Cunningham, and you're either going to get a close Tarver win because of his star power or a draw.
Sounds like right on the money. Can't argue with any of it. And I'm just looking forward to it. And the problem is, it's hard to know who to cheer for. They're both such good guys. But,
exactly. One thing I did say before you got on the air tonight, I said, you run into a fight like this, I said, the most logical thing to do is you like both fighters, you want to see both fighters do well. You know, fight is... perform well, that if it goes to the cards, the judges, you know, correct guy, and that both guys would face.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in any fight, you don't want to see anyone get hurt, but especially with something like this, no matter what, let's hope both guys make some money and have a good fight and shake hands afterwards, because they're both such good guys. So look forward to it. We'll be kicking it around next week.
Yeah. Oh, Tom, before we get off, also, I was reading some of the phone. There wasn't much on HBO Latino. My father loved HBO Latino. I did they can make chess. So yeah. Okay, it's the Pacquiao Mayweather. You thought it would have been a high blow. And he progressively better every fight. And he was fighting again if the guy was undefeated going in, or if the guy was definitely favored, and tore him apart. I mean, when I say tore him apart, I mean he was busting him up. And one time the guy kind of went. That hasn't caught him with an upper hammer. You know, he gave the guy, it must have been like a 7 or 8 minute break, and he must have eaten armor like 3. Matter. I mean, the referee tried to take it, armor took it right back, and he just continually wiped the floor with the guy, he wiped the floor with the guy and finally stopped him. That went from 8-3 or 8-4 to a guy that is now breaking into the top 10 and has a serious chance of bringing home a world.
Cool.
I guess you're only as good as your last fight. You can turn things around. That's fascinating.
And watching that fight and didn't know who was who, you would have said, who was the undefeated in the fight? You would have pointed right there with the undefeated one, you know, that was picked to win the fight. And it's like, no, vice versa. He whooped the guy's rear end. Like I said, I saw him a week, congratulated him. We give him a card and get him on our show, and unfortunately, his phone went off.
Well, yes. Get it. He's done.
All right. Well, gentlemen, until next week, always a pleasure. Thanks for Peter McNeely being on the show. And we'll recap the Big Tarver fight. Tarver will come in, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys.
Next week.
Baby.
Thanks for stopping by. We're out. We're out.